Okay, so we're on Daf Nun Aleph tonight. So the top line on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. So if you remember in the Mishnah we learned a few days ago about the Nazir, we said the Nazir is Megaleach on the low tarbet rekev, a ladle full of corpse dust. Now, the way the Masechta explained it is like normally if you have, let's say, tumah, like a dead sheretz, the sheretz is an Abba tumah, but once it decomposes and is dust, it's nothing. It doesn't exist anymore. And that's generally the way it works with tumah. So let's say you have a dead cow. A dead cow is an avela, it's an avat tumah. But once it's dust, it's nothing. But there's a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and when it comes to a human corpse, then the dust does give for tumah under certain circumstances. So the Gemara is not going to describe those circumstances, but it's all a chiddush. So the top line in an Aleph Amud Aleph 51a is the top line. So Tanur Rabbanan, Ezu Meit Sheish Lo Rekev, which is a cadaver that has rekev, like the halacha of the rekev, the corpse dust. Meit Sheish Bar Arom, Barom Shel Shtayish Shel Gabi Ritzva Shel Abanim, a dead body that was buried without any clothing, in other words, with no tachrichim on a Ritzva Shel Abanim, on a stone floor. Zehu Meit Sheish Lo Rekev. Nikbar, but if it's buried with tachrichim, with shrouds, baron shalait, or it's buried in a wooden casket, oh, while gabe rispa shalavanim, or a floor of bricks, it means all of those things can decompose and combine with the mate. In other words, the shrouds will can decompose, the wood coffin will decompose, or the rispa shalavanim will also decompose. So may chain the rekev, it doesn't have a different rekev. So the first halacha that the Bryce is teaching me, in order to be eligible for this special halacha of Melot Harbat Shel Rekev, which is gives it to Tumas Ohel, Tumas Maga, Tumas Masa, it has to be unadulterated Rekev. It can't have any mixture of other alien objects in it. Okay, that's the first halakha. So now on line five, Amar Ula in Rekev Elamana Basar Uminagidim Uminahatzamot. So let me make sure. Hold on a second. Right. 1 minute. 1 minute. What is it here? Oh, okay. Okay, got everybody? Okay, I have everybody here. Okay, in 1 second, just chat. I think somebody wanted to join. Yeah, here it is. Okay, so, Amar Ula in Rekev, Labam, Abasam, and Agidim, and Atzamot. So Ula says, in order to be rekev, another requirement is it has to be human flesh, and gidim they usually translate the sinews and the bones. In other words, that's what a person is. He's basar, atzamot, and gidim. So I need all those elements in the dust. So Efe Rava Ula. So Rava posed the following question to Ula from a braisa. The braisa says rekev abamina basar tahor. So it's very short, one, two, three, four, five words. The rekev, which is the corpse dust that comes from Basar, from human flesh, is Tahor. So the Gemara wants to deduce from this, or Rava does, I'm going to add some tame, that if it came from the bone, which the Tana Brisa says is Basar, Basar, it's Tahor. So we want to deduce, so if it comes from a bone, then it's tame. The Alpha God would like a Basar, even though there's no Basar. So that would be a kasha against what Ula said above. So Eimahachi, the Gemara says the way you should understand the Brisa is as follows: Rekev Abamina Basar Tahor. If rekev just comes from basar alone, it's tahor. Etzem you need a bone. In other words, not that it's basar versus bone. The basar alone doesn't do it. You need bone and basar. So the Gemara says halakha gidim. But even so, the statement above from Ula was you need basar gidim and atzamos. So even if we have basar and atzamos, so we gidim. So the Gemara says yifshol the basar l'tzamos below gidim. You can't have basar and atzamos like flesh and bone without gidim. And gidim usually translates sinews, but it means like all the, I don't know, it could be even the circulation system is also called gidim, all the tubes, everything other than basar and atzamot, I think, or you know, all the other things are gidim, I think. All right. Now, all right, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good?
Oh, yeah, Rabbi,
well,
it's usually ligaments they refer to, no? I
it's
mean,
coming
bone
out.
to bone goes with ligaments.
Oh, okay. I mean, you're a doctor. I mean, but in other words, gidim doesn't mean necessarily limited to what we would call in medicine a ligament. In other words, gidim could
Roots.
include, right? It could
Bad.
like it could
Blood
it,
test.
It could be like blood vessels, things like that. So other things could be gidim. All right. Now, all right, I'm going to move on though. Now, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan, shnei meitim shekvarin zeim zeh, nasu gilgalin zeh zeh. So let's say Rabbi Yochanan says, if I bury two people together, then they're gilgalin zeh zeh. Gilgalin means they're a mixture of mason and doesn't qualify as rekev anymore. Let's just say 1 second. I just want to look 1 second. 1 second, 1 second. Yeah. So the Rush says, Gilgalim, he says, it's in other words, it's like dirt mixed in from somewhere else. Anyway, so the point is, if two Matim are buried together, it doesn't have a din of rekev. So Matev Rav Natan, so in argument we have the Rav Natan posts the following question. But if you look at the Bach, it's Mati Rabbi Natan to Rabbi Oshia, and that's the way the Gemara is going to have below, Rabbi Natan to Rabbi Oshia. So that's the way the Bach takes it. So Mati Rabbi Natan to Rabbi Oshia, according to the Bach, Rekev Abam Mishnei Meitim Tameh. So the Braisa says, if you have Rekev from two dead people, it is Tameh. So that seems to contradict what Rabbi Yochanan said a few lines before. So I'm a Rabba, Shekavu Zebethne Atzmo, Zebethne Atzmo, Yer Kivu, we am doing a little Tarva Rekev. So the Bryce is talking about a case where the people were buried separately. In other words, you have Reuben who's dead and Shimon is dead. They're buried separately. And then eventually they both decompose to be corpse dust. And then the way the post seems to have it is like, I don't know, moth or something's eating away at the dust. So now if I join the dust from both Matim, I just have a low tarbot. I just have like a ladle full. So that could be mitzareif. In other words, if the person was buried by himself and then he gets a din of rekev, and somebody else buried by himself gets a din of rekev, so I can mix the two of them to get them in mashir. But if they were buried together and then the decomposition took place together, then it doesn't qualify as rekev. In other words, like think of it like radioactive. Like in order to get like the radioactivity, it has to be buried by itself. And then decompose, and then it's the record. All right. Everybody good so far? Everybody happy? All right, I'm gonna move on. All right, we're midway down the column. Anun Aleph Amid Aleph. Okay, Tanana Tam, we learned the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot. Kol Shmei Tamei Chutz Min Hashinayim V'Aseir V'Atziporin U'Bishar Chiburan Kulan Tameim. So this Mishnah is subject to connection later on in the Gemara. I'll go through it, and then you put it on the side, and we'll connect up with it in a minute. That he's saying, like, any part of a dead person is tameh. In other words, anything that's detached from a dead cadaver has tuma, except from the teeth, the hair, and the nails. So it means if a person would pull a tooth from a cadaver, the tooth would not have tuma. If he would cut hair off the cadaver, even though he shouldn't do that, would not have tuma. And then same thing with the nails. But when they're attached, they're all tamei. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says in Masechet Aholot. So the Gemara says, by Chizkiah, so Chizkiah poses the following question. He says, did I skip a line? I'm sorry, I skipped one line. I'm so sorry, I skipped one line. It was important. Two lines up earlier, I'm sorry. Earlier in the Gemara, one line above the Beit Gimel. Okay, so I'm a Rabbi Bar Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. That's the important halakha. Rabbi Yochanan says, if a person cut off hair from a cadaver and then buried the hair that he just cut off together with the cadaver, that's viewed as like an alien mixture in the whole thing. In other words, when the hair is attached to the body, that's part of the body. But once I cut it off, now it's not viewed as part of the body. So if I bury that with the body, so it can't become rekev anymore because it has like in something alien that's like we've had above. With the tachrichim or the aron of eights, you know, those were like an alien mixture in it, so it can't become rekev. So too the hair would spoil it. So then the Gemara says, and I'll go over this line again. Tanan Tam, we learn the Mishnah Masechet Aholot, Kosh Meit Tamei Chutz Min Hashinayim V'Aseir V'Atziporin, that any part of the cadaver is tamei, except if it means if it's cut off and detached, except for the teeth, the hair, and the nails, or the nail. When they're attached, they're all tamein. So by Chizkiah posed the following question. What if you have a cadaver and it has he has long hair, and it really should be cut, or a long nail that's, you know, also should be cut. What's the halach with that? Meaning, mi aminan kol omi ligazis kikazus dami, odilma hashtami hamachubarim. Meaning, in terms of this din of rekev, so we said anything that's alien that's mixed in with the body destroys the halach of rekev, and rekev means the below tar of a rekev. Rekev is the corpse dust. So let's say a person has very long hair, but he's overdue for a haircut. It's a long nail. The nails are overdue for cutting. So the Gemara has a klal called omi ligazis dami. Anything that should be cut, we view as being cut. So if, would I say that with the cadaver? So the cadaver, he's got long hair, but he shouldn't have gotten a haircut, but he didn't. So now do I say that there's something alien that's mixed in with the body and it's not eligible to be reckoned? Or he's got long nails and it should be cut, but it wasn't cut. So the Gemara says, dami. Do I say, well, anything that should be cut, we view as being cut? Odilma hashtami habakubarin. Or do I say, look, right now it's attached. So at the end of the day, it's attached, attached, attached. So the Gemara says, "V'nifshal lemi de Rabba Bar Bar Chana." So now we go back to the earlier statement we had a few lines ago from Rabba Bar Bar Chana, "Tama mishum de Gazas." So Rabba Bar Bar Chana, meaning in the neighborhood of Yochanan, said, "Gaza saro." If a person cut off someone's hair and buried it with the cadaver, it's like an alien object. It's the cadaver, and it blocks it from being reckoned. So the Gemara wants to extrapolate from that statement. Tamish from the Gazaz. The problem is that the person cut it off the hair. Hello, Gazaz, lo. So had he not cut off the hair, even though the hair would have been ruined to be cut, then it doesn't sound like you have a problem. Whether it's Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Barachan, the name of Yochanan, says if you cut off the hair then you stick the hair with the body, you got a problem. Sounds like if you don't cut off the hair, you don't have a problem, even though the hair is long. So that if that's the case, so we're able to resolve our question, at least from Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar." No, you don't necessarily have such a great proof. Gazas is a gilgalim. In other words, the statement of Yochanan: if I'm gozes, that's a mixture. In other words, I'm gozes something, I have something alien mixed in, without doubt. Lo gazas mi bayle. But if he didn't, in other words, if he didn't cut it off, so maybe Rabbi Yochanan is mesupak on that halacha. He doesn't know where that goes. Not that he's saying, you know, vadai, if it's not cut off, it's not a problem, but if you cut it, you definitely have a problem. If you don't cut it, so he doesn't necessarily resolve that. And the Gemara doesn't resolve that either. Okay, now, any questions, comments, or thoughts, or anything we did so far? Everybody good?
I presume that in modern day, that with the implants and so on, that would disqualify from being rekev also, yeah?
So,
because it's far.
Like, what type of implants? You mean
like teeth, you know, or artificial limbs? You know, I mean, implant or pacemaker.
Yeah. You know. That's interesting. Yeah, the only thing is, though, I'm just wondering a little bit. You see, the Gemara talks about things that decompose together with the body. Those are artificial right. limbs. Do they decompose? I don't think so. So that might be buried. More. You know, but that might be more like the stone surface, which the Gemara is not a problem. But there's another problem. The Gemara is going to have an Amud Beis that in order to have a din of rekev, you need a complete body. The body can't be. Can be missing parts. That's more the issue, not so much the alien object in it. Is questionable, the alien object, because it may not decompose. In other words,
they put a lens in my eye, because you know from an artificial lens. You know, when you get right. a cataract,
right?
So that's going to
decompose. That's interesting. So. Yeah, but the artificial lens, so would that decompose with the body?
No.
Yeah, so I have a medical expert here who says it not. So if it doesn't decompose, if it doesn't decompose, I don't think that's the problem. But the problem would be if it's not a complete body. But what's constitutes not complete? This is getting a little tricky now. All right, let's go further in the Gemara. Now, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Okay, it's nice to have everybody. Okay, let's get further in the Gemara. So we're 10 lines from the bottom. Anun Aleph Amud Aleph, 51A, 10 lines from the bottom. By Reb Yirmiya, Rekev Abamin Ha'akev Mahu. What about the Rekev, it was the corpse dust that comes from a person's heel? He says, now the idea with the heel is that and I'm not, we have a doctor here, so he'll fill in, but the, like the heel, and it was like the skin, like it's like you get the dead skin, and like, you know, like that gets, like when you're close to the surface, the skin is dead. So the heel is like a lot of skin built up on it. So one shot, the way Tosfos takes it, they're asking if I have a part of the rekev, the way I understand it, like that I know that comes from the heel, is that really rekev since it was never living? Or the other pshat, the way the Rashi / Mefarish has it, is maybe the akev means like the lower half of the body. In other words, the lower half of the body, in other words, the Gemara takes it, the upper half of the body is like the part that's like necessary for life. Like, unfortunately, you have people in war, you know, they step on a mine, their legs are blown off, but they're able to live a life. Not, it's not ideal, but they're able to live a life, you know, with the upper part of the body. So maybe the bottom part of the body doesn't constitute the part that would be for rekev. We'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, do we say that rekev is something that comes like from the whole body together, or mikulamei means like the part that's like living, you know, about the atim and akiv lo, but the part that comes from the heel not? Maybe it makes no difference. So Tashima, the Tani Rabnatan Raboshia, and here we have Raboshia, which is the way that the Bach, you know, corrected above. Remember what the small aleph was, right? That's the way he corrected it. Yeah, Rabbi Natan Raboshia. He says, Rekev Abam Mishnei Meitim Tamei. So we learned in the Brisa above, the Rabbi Natan Raboshia said about a Rekev that comes from two dead people, that's Tamei. So remember, the two dead people, they were buried separately. Their bodies turned to Rekev. But then, the way the Bali Tosfos would take it, a moth or something was eating at the Rekev, so now I only have half a below tarbut from one, half a below tarbut from the other. I put it together. Now I have a below tarbut record. He says, if you'll assume that the part that comes from the heel of a person does not constitute rekev, like the halakhic rekev, so if I just have a below tarbut rekev from two bodies, maybe I don't even have a below tarbut rekev because the part that comes from the heel maybe doesn't count as rekev. So the fact that he said it does count, that lefora, that's the proof that the akev does count, we think. So the Gemara deflects the proof. Let me see what the Bach says here. He says, the Gemara says, according to the Bach, hechi dami, either yirkev kulamei v'ka'ad derech akev ha'chanami. So he says, look, if we'd be talking a case where, like, the whole person died and we're just taking a part that had with the heel, so in Achinami, I want to say there was never a question that it would be within a rekev. In other words, that's not the question. In other words, if the whole body dies and there's a part that came from the heel, in Achinami, that's rekev. That wasn't the question. Elahacha, from the irkib chad aver, bika'ati, the question is, he just has like one limb that decomposed, and it's, in other words, it means like this: the body is decomposing, and just the leg decomposed. In other words, the body is in a process, and so the rest of the body is dead, but there's still like some flesh and stuff. But the leg is already rekev. So the question is, does that constitute rekev when just the leg, you know, with the heel, you know, is it? And the idea is that maybe the heel, I don't know what they said. I was looking at the Sifta Gemara. They were saying that maybe like the heel is like causing everything to decompose. But that's the question. My teiku. The Gemara leaves it as a teiku. They're not able to resolve that. All right. Any questions, comments, close to what we did just now? All right. Let's look further in the Gemara. All right. Now, the Gemara says, five lines to the bottom, by Rabbi Yirmiya, Ubarba Me Isha, Habi Gilgalim Olo. Let's say a woman was pregnant, and obviously a tragedy, and she dies, and now she's got this embryo fetus in her abdomen. Does that count as a foreign mixture for terms of rekev or not? Since we have a statement that an ubar is like the mother's thigh, in other words, it's like part and parcel of the mother's body, so it's part of her body, it's not rekev. Odilma, or do I say that since eventually the ubar is going to leave the mother's body, so we view it as a separate, you know, item from the mother, and Mamela, now I have Gilgalim. So that body would not be eligible for rekev because it has something alien, in quotation marks, in it. That's the question. If you assume that the ubar indeed is something alien, if it's going to be separated, the top line in Amud Beis, Anunal Amud Beis 51b, the top line, he says, Shifa Zera Ishama. What if the woman's body contains male semen, like Shifa Zera? He says, Mahu. Me and Rina came lo itzar kigufatami. Do I say, since the semen has not yet developed into an embryo, so it's like her body? Odilma came to me amakati lo. Or maybe since it came from outside her body, we view it as like an alien substance. And again, she's not eligible for rekev. And again, we talk about rekev, so it means obviously the cadaver gives off tumah. The only issue we got into is the special, you know, halacha of rekev, which is unique to a person, that when they turn to dust, that they still give off tumah, tumas rekev, but it's a halacha l'shani sinai, and only under the circumscribed conditions that we've been discussing, that, you know, they can't have anything alien that's mixed in with it. And let's see what's going on now. So by Rapapa, Pirshamahu. So Rapapa asks, what about the woman's excrement? But Tos says it could be the man's excrement. And the Gemara is going to have a series of questions. And then the Gemara is going to say, how can I ever have a case of rekiv? Pirshamahu. Do I say, since a person can't subsist without food, so it's like, you know, their sustenance? Odilma hanami mi'alma'ati. Do I say, like, came, you know, it came from outside the body? I mean, it went through some processing, but it came from outside the body. So if that's the case, that perish is, you know, viewed as something alien, so then 99.9% of people would not have been a rekiv. By Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Ika, Oromahu. What about a person's skin? Do we view that as something alien in terms of his din of rekev? We'll see in a minute. By Rav Huna bar Manoah, Kicho v'niyomahu. What about a person's saliva, mucus? So Amalei Rav Shmuel bar Acha Rav Papa. So now Rav Shmuel bar Acha says to Rav Papa, and Rav Papa is the one who asked above about the parish, the excrement. So he says, the Rav Papa, one second, if you assume that all these things are alien, in other words, the excrement is alien, the skin is alien, and the mucus and saliva, or saliva and mucus, is also alien, how will you ever have a case of rekiv? Everybody, literally and figuratively, will have alien substances in it and not be eligible for the din of rekiv. So the Gemara says, no, you could theoretically have the case. How? The Ashkei made the kalim, that you gave this person like a diuretic, but in other words, the made the kalim. So if you look at the Rush, let's look at the Rush. The Rush is around this sixth line down. He says, Mashkach la the Ashkei made the kalim. Emin Masech Shabbat Perishwan Shratzim. Trey Talta Ichibama Rabba. There are two date palm trees in the west, in Eretz Israel. But I began to my benai, there's a spring water between them. Kastakam rape, the first cup of water, if you drink it, makes loosens your bowels. Yirach Mashal Shale, the second one, you know what filtral is, it comes out. He says, V'yirach Yeheki Da'il Ha'achi Nafik. The third cup, just like it's like you're preparing for a colonoscopy, you know, everything's coming out. So anyway, so the point is that he says that the Ashki made the kalim. You could have a person who had drunk this three cups that's made the kalim, like the spring water between the date palm trees. So everything came out of him. The Safia Nasha, and then before he died, he was anointed with this sort of things that remove the hair. What does he call it? Depilatory? Yeah, it removes the hair. It was Shlaka made Tveria, and then the body was heated in the hot waters of Tveria. And then the Safia Nasha could be maybe even after the death. He was anointed with this depilatory that causes the hair to be removed, and then the body was heated up, which causes the skin to be removed. That could theoretically be the case, but the Gemara has it with that. Okay, all right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
This is to get rid of all the possibilities.
In other words, the Gemara has halakha l'shemi Sinai about a din of rekev. What was the question, Mary?
Are all these things that happen to this person?
Right.
Just so that he would be considered the
Rechab? Okay, so Meir asks, are all of these things so he would be considered to be Rechab? So it's really, it's a little bit the other way around. In other words, the Gemara knows is Alach L'Mashem Yisinei Berekev, and we're not sure what all the conditions are. In other words, we know we can't have alien objects, but assuming one line of Svara is to say that even excrement and even hair and even skin would be considered to be alien objects on the body. So the Gemara, so the Gemara says, if that's the case, how could you ever have a case of Rechav? So the Gemara says the case would be the person drank the diuretic and then they put the depilatory on the body and then they heated the body in the chametz feria. So they took the skin off, they took the hair off, and the guts were cleaned out. So that would be the case.
So it is possible that one person could be a Rechav.
Right, according to the Sukkimtiv. We don't know for sure with the whole thing. Okay, now, any other questions? Ruth, speak up. What do you got?
I'm just asking who is Meir.
One second. Are you okay, Ruth?
Okay.
You got it? Okay. All right. Let's take a look. Let me just do a little piece from some of the sheets here, and then we'll take it down from there. Now, one issue he takes up here, which was more of an issue in earlier years, not so much today, is whether you can use in a shaydol, a woman's shaydol, hair that had been taken from a cadaver. So again, today I don't think they take the hair from cadavers, but in previous centuries they did. So, that's a more timely topic. So he says, now, even though hair that's cut off from a dead body is not metameh, is machloket rishonim, if you're allowed to use the hair and benefit from it, a dead body is asur b'hanah. So the question is, what about the hair that came from a dead body? So according to the Rambam, you're allowed to benefit from hair that came off a dead body. But according to the Tur, he holds that the hair that came from a dead body is asur b'hanah. Now the poskim, got into a heavy discussion about this. A section of poskim asserts where a shaydol, among other things in their considerations, is that you can't benefit from Panachra because in their time, the shaydols were made from hair that had been cut from dead people. So you should avoid wearing it because that could be involved with Easter Hana. One of the postgame is Koshish for this is Rabbi Avram Ta'omim, the author of the Shas Tshuva Success of the Avram, who writes that that he wants to say like a different Isur, that most of the shaydols in his time were created from the hair of dead people. And he adds on to it, and he says that despite the fact that these shaydols are made from the hair of non-Jewish bodies, nevertheless, even the dead of the body, the dead non-Jews are asur hanam drabanan, or it might be it's asur on a derisa level, so you can't use those shaydols. That's the way it's coming out. Now today, we have shaydols that are made from synthetic material. They're not made from human hair. And then some are made from human hair, but they're not made from hair from a dead body. They get it from people who grow it, just so it should be for the shaydol. Now, he doesn't mention here, but as you all know, and Mayor mentioned, a few years ago, there was a whole tumult about that it was alleged that they were using hair from that had been grown for Avodah Zarah, like in India, that they were growing, that the women would grow their hair. What? Yeah, so there was a whole tumult about that, but seems to have quieted it down. So I'm not sure that they either were mavarer that it's not the case, or that the hair is not coming from use from Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, that's correct. That's right. Yeah, that's what it determines. Yeah.
All right. Now one more piece. Now we said also that hair that which is should be cut off, I viewed as being cut off. That's what we said. And it's not just by hair, it's like by nails also. One of the issues for women when they go to the mikveh is they need to cut their nails, and the cutting the nails is for a chatzitza. In other words, one way to understand it, in other words, if the nails are long, so then I view the nails as already being cut off. So that they're cut off, so then there are chatzitza between where the nails should be and where they are. That's one way to view it. Anyway, so I mentioned this on Shabbos. Daniel, you probably remember this, that in the time of Reb Chaim Ozer, this is between World War I and World War II, So they had in Vilna these women who would grow their hair, the nails long. They didn't want to cut it when they went to the mikveh. And they asked Reb Chaim Ozer whether they should let them go to the mikveh or not. And Reb Chaim Ozer was matir. He let them go to the mikveh. All right, now, he says here, the issue, though, with the hair is, what about, let's say a person, what do they call it, a hair transplant when you, like, fill in with the hair? The hair transplant. It was from your own body. You put the hair here. Okay, so let's say a person has a hair transplant. Is that a chatzitza for his tefillin? And then what about a toupee? And what about some other issues? So he talks about here. Now, let's say the person has very long hair, first of all. So, lechora, the question is that a chatzitza? So we want to say, at first blush, you'd say it's not a chatzitza for tefillin. You see, a nazir is mitzvah to grow his hair long. And a velim also grow their hair long, he says, and we don't say that that's a chatzitza for the tefillin. So the nazir is growing his hair, and let's say he's a nazir for a year. He's growing his hair all over the place, and it's him assuming the avail. But he quotes from a sefer, this is from the Morota Daf Yomi, he quotes from a sefer Beit Baruch on the Chayyada. He says that we don't have this raya, because just after the hair of the nazir and the avail doesn't block off the mitzvah tefillin, because they ain't only the gazes. In other words, is it hair that should be cut? So the hair of the nazir, the hair of the abel, is hair that should not be cut, al pi halacha. So it's not only the gazes, but the hair of a regular person that's going long, that's considered like zuzo, but only the gazes dami. So I don't know if he means saying like objectively or subjectively, but Lechori is saying like if al pi halacha should be cut, we could still view it that it should be cut. So it doesn't prove anything that with the person here. Now, notwithstanding that, he quotes from the Sefer Beit Baruch. He says that even if they're long, they're not chotzeis, he says. And he says also, he quotes from the Shas and Shuas Eretz Tzvi by the Kashuk Glover. But l'chachila, the hair should not be grown long where you put on tefillin. But then he quotes from the Mishnah Berurah, which I looked up today, and he says that long hair is considered chatzitza according to the Mishnah Berurah. We don't say hainu rigitayu. Rigitayu means that's the way it normally grows. So I was talking to Rabbi Werblowski today. He was a Magid Shir YU. I'm not so clear on it, but he's saying that it's not, that the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying something different. He's saying that we don't view this as the way the hair normally grows. So Mamela, that's chatzitza. That's what he's saying. So, and another problem is that the tefillin is not so secure on the head when the hair is long. In other words, when the hair is short, it's like tight on the head, and you put it in the right place. But the longer hair could be chatzitza. Now, he quotes from Moshe Feinstein, that who was asking about people, who have like the hair transplant. So he says, now let's say the hair, like you transplant the hair, so initially you don't know if the hair is going to take to where they transplanted it, and whether it might take, it might not take. So if that's going to be the case, it's going to put the person in a very difficult position, obviously. He's going to, how is he going to put his tefillin? But he said, what? In other words, because let's say he's bald over here, and he's just transplanted the hair, and if I said transplanted hair may be a chatzitza, then he's got a problem. But Ramosha Paskins, that he's okay, even with the transplant, he doesn't know if it's going to take. He says, because he has no intention to remove it, and he wants it to remain there for good, but it's not a chatzitza. But let's say the person wears a toupee, and he could remove the toupee whenever he chooses. So Reb Moshe says he can put the tefillin on the toupee in shul, but he shouldn't make a bracha on it. And even though he's not going to take it off when he the toupee, it's still chatzitza. But when he goes to his home, he should take the toupee off and then make put on tefillin with the bracha, is what Reb Moshe says every day. Yeah. All right. Now any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? All right. Let's go further in the Gemara. All right. So we're Nun Aleph Amud Beis around 10 lines down. Okay, we're Amar Abaye. So Amar Abaye, Natina Mech Tachano, Ein Lo Rekev. Did I skip something? I'm good. No, I'm good. Okay. Samar by Nechitin, we are Mesor is Mech Techano. This sounds like kind of ghoulish, but let's say you have a dead body and somebody sort of chopped it up and ground it up. So it's like, well, anyway, like the, in other words, the corpse dust is like a body that's totally decomposed, and now it's like corpse dust. Let's say the body's been like, you know, ground up in small pieces, in the rekev. So even that is not the din of a rekev. In other words, it could be cut into these small pieces. That's not a din of rekev. But ibayilahu tachano because of a hirkubahu. Then the Gemara says, what if he chopped up the body and then allowed it to stick around until it decomposed? So here, the Gemara has a question, would that have a din of rekev or not? Do I say the whole issue is, do I have the whole body, the basar, gidim, and atzamot, and I have all that, so I have a din of rekev, odilma, to bria toba in the meleka, or maybe I need the body the way it was created, like the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created the body, and I don't have that. So teku, the Gemara leaves that as the teku, So I would say with this rekev, it's like, it's halakha moshe misinai, so I don't know, like one of the Maggidish here, Rabbi Blasky, was saying to me, just it's halakha moshe misinai, but I thought conceptually, it's like saying, and I was talking with this with Rabbi Packer, like, it's like this is the vessel that Hashem put like the neshama in. In other words, the Tzelem Elokim is in this body, and because of that, it has a special din of rekev. In other words, the body is infused with such kedusha that it retains that kedusha, or in other words, tuma is the opposite of kedusha. In other words, wherever there's kedusha, there's tuma. So it has such kedusha that even when it's like decomposed, now it's in a special category, and even though it's rekev. But the question is, in what form? So let's see, and I think that Rabbi Packer seemed to also be going along that line, I think, but let me go on. Now, Tani Ula Bar Chanina, taught the following braisa, Beit Shechaser, Ein Lo Rekev, V'lo Tfusa, V'lo Shkuna Kavaro. Let's say I have a body, and this is what I think you were asking about, Pesach David, if a body is Chaser, if a body is missing, it's not the whole body. You know, let's say the hand is chopped off the body, so if the body is Chaser, so it doesn't have a din and rekev. So this is saying more than what we said before. Before we said we need basar, gidim, and atzamot. Now the Gemara is saying that if the body's missing pieces, it doesn't have a din and rekev. He says, below tefusa. Tefusa is the dirt that's near the body. Let's say you're disinterring a body, like in the circumstances where you could disinter the body. So you take the body, but you also take the dirt that's touching the body, and then to a depth of 3 espaot around the body, because we're afraid that fluids from the body may have gone into the earth. That's called tefusa. And then shkunat kavarod is if I find, in other words, if a body has been buried in a cemetery, I can't reinter it. But if it's just by itself, then I could reinter it. So let's say I find 3 bodies, one next to another, that qualifies as like a graveyard. But that's only if the 3 bodies are complete bodies. If they're not complete bodies, not. So if one body is not complete, it's not a shkun kavaro. So that's the din that Ula taught in the Brisa. So Meifei, so now in this Brisa, we're going to ask a kasha from the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot. Now, Mishnah Masechet Eduyot is judging about a kezias from a chai. Let's say I have a piece of flesh from a living person, which has been cut off from the living person. What is the status of that kezias? So the Gemara wants to say, it has the same din as a mate. That's what the Gemara Mishnah wants to say. So the ones we want to learn kizayit and a chai from kizayit and a mate. So the Mishnah is picking up in the middle of the conversation. Meifei, lo, the Gemara Mishnah is saying, no, you can't compare the two because mate is much more chamur. Lo, you remark to the mate, she's a rova varova omelo tar v'rekev. In other words, how can you compare the flesh that's cut from a living person to anything din by a dead person? The dead person has a din of rov, which we discussed earlier. You have rov minyan and rov binyan. In other words, if I have, you know, most of the structure of the skeleton, that's tuma, or rov minyan is most of the bones or the avarim. And then rova, if I have a quarter kav, it also gives tuma. And here's the one we need, omelo tar v'rekev. The dead body has melo tar v'rekev, a ladle full of corpse dust. Tomer b'chai, she'en lo, the living person has no din of rov. In other words, living, in other words, you can't have a, you know, a piece that's cut off, it's going to be you know, Rov Minyan or Rov Binyan. Below Rov, it doesn't have a din of quarter tava bones. Below Melo Tarvad Rekev. So Hechidami. So what is the case that the Mishnah is talking about that the living body doesn't have this, but the dead body does? It says the Irkiv Chad Aver. So we think that there was one Aver from the living body that decomposed. So either it means this Tupshatim, either it means it was severed from the body and it decomposed afterwards, or then there's another pshat, say it was still attached and it's like decomposing, which is not a good situation, but we'll take it whether it was severed. He says, so the Chabatak we made, Afilu Chareber, Ikarekev. So that would seem to indicate, in other words, Gemara assumes, in other words, the Mishnah is making an analogy between dead people and living people. So the Mishnah is saying you can't compare living to the dead, because the living, we think the pshat is, if I have one aver that's been severed from a human body and it decomposes, it doesn't have a din of rekev. But if I have one aver, we think, from a dead body, it does have a din of rekev. So if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, that's a kasha of what we said above. We said, I don't have a din of rekev, I need the whole body. And here, the Chora from the Mishnah is saying that even one aver can be rekev. That's the way we think. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a great proof. Mi katani hamet. Does the Mishnah say, but with the mate, you know, there would be rekev? Hakamash v'lam, shum mate, yesh lo rekev, shum chai, ain't lo rekev. Whereas the Mishnah is just saying, like pie in the sky, dead people are more chamer than living people. Because in the dead people, you have rekev, not with one limb, but there's a din of rekev among dead people. There's all these, but and among living people, there's never a din of rekev. Not that in this individual case, there's a din of rekev by a dead body. So the Gemara had a kasha, but deflected the kasha. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we
can
discuss?
Can you clarify the concept of rekev for me?
Okay, this is what we've been discussing for the last 45 minutes. So rekev is if I have a whole body that is dead and then decomposes, so now it's dust, corpse dust.
I understand. So I just needed to know that was the reference, that you, the word that you used. I understand.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go further.
If you were born missing a limb, would that still be the complete body? I think it would be, right? Because you were born that way.
So, I mean, I don't know, but I think like you, I think that if that's where you were born, then I think it would be a complete body. Nothing was removed from the body, so I would think it would be a complete body,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
All right, let's see further in the Gemara. All right, we're 10 lines from the bottom onto an Aleph Amud Beis. By Rava, Hirkiv Shuchai, B'chazer Umeit Mahu. Let's say a person had a limb, you could say that was severed, and then decomposed into dust. And then the person who was the owner of that limb, he died. And now he turns to dust. So now, in other words, can I have like sort of like the... Like the credit card where you have the payment plan, like the, in other words, like everything's not coming at the same time, but eventually it all comes in. So now the whole body has turned to rekev, but not, you know, in the same process. You know what I mean? So by Robert.
Did you need the volume to at least excise from both?
No. Well, let's go back. In other words, he's putting everything together and now everything is decomposed. Right. You need a melo tarvad as a ladleful. We learned yesterday it means either like a handful or a palmful. That's how much you need for that with kiptuma. But in other words, in order to have rekev, I need the whole body. But now I have the whole body. That's the question. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. By Rava here, ki shuchai, chazor mei mahu, ki gemi rekev, the irkiv shumei. When you say rekev, maybe it means that everything decomposed after the person was dead, not that one decomposed 5 years ago and now later on. He says, "Oh, Dilma, hashtag me a hamad." Or do we say, look, at the end of the day, he's dead now. Dead is dead. Everything's dead, so it's rekev. That's the question. So Tashma, so Gemara now tries to bring a proof from the same Mishnah we just quoted a few lines earlier from a second Eduyot that's connected, that's comparing or trying to learn out the din of Kazayas ben Achai from, you know, Kazayas ben Amei. So Tashma lo emar to be made, she's a rover malo tarvet rekev. It was the Tana Mishnah says, how can you compare a dead person? Dead person's got, you know, rov binyan that gives tuma, and the rova hakabat samot and malo tarvet rekev, tomer b'chai chulei. So as opposed to a living person, doesn't have any of those dinim. So the Gemara wants to deduce the reason he doesn't have any of those dinim, tam mishum chai, because he's alive. That's why he doesn't have the dinim. Amet yesh lo rekev. But if he would be dead, he does have the dinim rekev. In other words, we think that, in other words, he's got, in other words, let's say he has a severed limb right now. So he doesn't have a dinim rekev because he's alive, the limb is dead. But if he would be dead, then he would have the dinim rekev. That's what we're going to say. So the Gemara says, Mi katani hame. Does the Mishnah say if he's dead, no, that would be the case? Hakamash malan, the shumi yishal rekev, shumchai in the rekev. In other words, same idea as before. He can't say, he's saying, like, if I flip over the case, I have the din. In other words, like the person had a severed limb. So he says he's alive, so he doesn't have a din record. The dead person does have a din record. But it doesn't mean that if he would be dead, he would have a din record. It's just saying that in the olam, like dead people have a din record. In olam, you know, living people don't have a din record. Okay, now, one more case in the Gemara, and then we'll do a few things on the sheet, and then that will be it for tonight. So three lines to the bottom, under an aleph amud beis. So by Rava, Nimalasha Chasra Mahu. Now, here's a different topic, is Birya, and we've had this before, but let's just go over it. So there's a concept in Halakha. You have Shiurim in Halakha, but Birya is when I have a whole creature, or a whole creation, so that counts for the Shiur. So let's say a person eats an ant, A-N-T, like the thing that crawls on the ground. So if a person eats an ant, so an ant is much less than a kezias, but since an ant is a birya, you're chayiv for eating the ant because you ate a whole birya. You got that? That's birya. So it's interesting. In Yiddish, it means something totally different, right? Ruth, why don't you fill us in? What does birya mean in Yiddish for Ruth?
I don't know.
You don't know? What do you mean you don't know? It was, you said like the woman, she's a real birya. You never heard that expression?
A birya?
Yeah.
A birya?
A barrier is a creature.
No.
No, a barrier means...
Our emotion, go ahead.
Very industrious.
A barrier in the kitchen.
Pesach David got it. He doesn't know any Yiddish.
In the kitchen, a barrier is a good person to have.
Right. All right, now you're on the check, Ruth. Anyway.
But it's from the same word, a creature.
Okay, anyway, barrier is like the industrious balabash, but that's a barrier. Right. Okay, anyway, so let's see back in the Gemara. Do you want to say something, Aaron Moshe, or are you good?
No, I just was going to say the translation. It's right.
Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So by Rava, Nimal Shachas Ramahu, what if I have an ant and the legs of the ant have been cut off, but the ant is still alive? So what's its halacha vis-a-vis birya? He says, shiur gemirin la v'hachaster. Do we say, like the shiur is, I need a whole ant with legs and everything, and it's chaster, I don't have it. Oh, birya gemirin la v'ha'icha. Or do I say, is it din in birya, and right now, this birya is living without the legs, so he has a din in birya. That's the question the Gemara has. All right. Now, if you look, let me see. Let's look at Tosfos, the second last Tosfos. So the Gemara says in Masechet Makot, if a person eats an ant, he's chayav v'kolshu. In other words, any amount, however small the ant is, he's chayav malkot. He says, even though it's, and I think he's chayav more than one set of malkot for eating the ant. So he's even though it has less than kesayit, umibaylei in next two regleha. The Gemara asks if the ant has no legs, but it can still live. What's the story? Then let's see the last Tosos. Do we say that it has to be a whole birya, you know, like the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created it, and it's lacking? No, Dilma birya gemiri la, Babi la sheret, so badain rui lachyo, but if it could live, maybe it also has been a birya. Okay, now, let's just do some things from the sheets, and then that will be it for tonight, and then we will talk. One second. All right, I'll do a story. Everybody likes a story. And then actually I have this thing also about... Okay. So he says, the brilliance of the Rugged Shaver Gaon is well known. Now, the Rugged Shaver was...
Rabbi Yeshia Rosen.
What's his first name?
Rabbi Yeshia Rosen.
What was his first name?
Yeshua Rosen.
Yoshua, are you sure? Yoshua does not sound right to me. There was a Rav Rosen. I don't remember his first name, but Maybe he's going to check on live. We'll see in a minute. Anyway, so the Rogatchover, he was a brilliant person. He lived before World War II, and he lived in the city of Dvinsk. And I remember one of my Rebbeim, Rav Michael Katz, he wrote to him, and he had a phenomenal memory. There's Rav Yosef Rosen, and there's another Rav Rosen. And what's the name of
Yosef Rosen?
What's the name of Zelda's grandfather? Is that's Rav Moshe Rosen? Okay. Anyway, Rav Yosef Rosen, we think Yosef. Okay. So he says, so he had a phenomenal memory. He never forgot anything from the age of three. And he said once he went to his father's kever. He had reviewed, I think, half of Shas on the way there and was going to review the other half on the way back. Anyway, so the Rogatchover was well known. When Rav Meir Simcha Dvinsk first met the Rogatchover, and they lived in the same town in Dvinsk, he didn't reveal who he was, Rav Meir Simcha. After an intricate discussion and learning, the Rogatchover asked, "Who are you?" Rav Meir Simcha said, "A Balabas from Dvinsk." "Not bad for a Balabas," was the unusually generous reply. He says, after the two were acquainted for quite some time, someone asked Rav Meir Simcha, "How does the Rogatchover have such complete recall of every source everywhere?" "That's where you were wrong. It's not his memory," Rav Meir Simcha replied. "He is such a masvid that he reviews everything each month. Whenever he speaks about any topic, there's something he has just learned." There's a very enigmatic Abuster of Nasan, which correlates things in the universe that have a counterpart in man. At the very end, it says, there is a Malacham Abbas in the world and a Malacham Abbas in man. Man's heel is an aspect of the Malacham Abbas. So that's in Abuster of Natan. It says a man's heel is the Malacham Abbas. So he says, in Hilchos Kriyishma, the Rogatchover explains this. In Nazir, Aleph, today's daf, the Gemara questions whether the decay of the heel imparts ritual impurity. Tosfos explains the rationale behind this question. Since the heel is flesh with less chius, sensation, and vitality, perhaps it does not impart ritual impurity.
Okay. Is it? Could I call you back?
One second. My dear, I have to mute you. You're making noise.
I know. I forgot. We're both the night owls. Yes, I.
All right. Now, in Nazir and Aleph, the more questions with the decay of the heel imparts ritual impurity. Tosfos explains the rationale behind the question. Since the heel is flesh with less key is sensation and vitality, perhaps it does not impart ritual impurity. This explains the Maimar in Abbas Rav Nasan. The heel reminds one of the Malacham Abbas, since the part of the person most lacking feeling. In other words, the heel reminds the person of Malacham Abbas. It's like the deadest part of the person. When Rav Shlomo Zevin Zatzal would tell this over, he would remark, the Rogatchover only dedicated about one line of his work to encapsulate this word. In other words, the Rogatchover mentioned this. Where did he mention it? In Hilchos Kriyishma, he says, now try and fathom how deep his words are when he spends a few pages on a single subject. All right, I think it's going to be today. I think stick around and want to discuss something with you, and then that will be it. One second.
By the way.
One second. Wait.